You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. New DNA-based discoveries in the science of human origins have disrupted long-established views of how we came to be and who we in fact are. These new discoveries will require a significant revision of the National Alliance's own book, Who We Are, by William Pierce. And these new discoveries are being exploited by Jews to, no surprise here, undermine the identity and cohesion of the European race. In other words, to attack white people, shatter their confidence, to convince them that blending themselves out of existence through racial mixture is inevitable and good, and to convince them that to oppose our own extinction is somehow hateful. And some of these discoveries do undermine old-fashioned racialism, but they do not undermine the higher racialism, the true understanding held by us in the National Alliance. To understand this, you must first have some preliminary understandings. The Jew David Reich, a scientist at Harvard, has written a book, who we are and how we got here, which I will just call How We Got Here, or HGH, for the purposes of this broadcast, to prevent confusion with Dr. William Pierce's excellent, if outdated, book, Who We Are. I want to address the way Reich and his fellow Jews are misusing these discoveries. But first, there are some very important preliminaries I must share. It isn't often that I recommend that all my listeners read or listen to something, something so important that it is essential, something that if you don't understand it, you essentially understand nothing. I've said that about certain pieces by Revelo Oliver, such as What We Owe Our Parasites and The Origins of Christianity. I've said it about some of Dr. William Pierce's works, such as those contained in our new book, Cosmotheism, Religion of the Future. And I've said it about William Gailey Simpson's Which Way, Western Man? Without exposure to those works, your understanding of our people's history and spirituality is incomplete. I hope I don't come across as egotistical, but I want to make sure that all of my listeners also familiarize themselves with a couple of my works. One is my piece on the reality of evolution. Relatedness and the Encyclopedia prove evolution is real. And the other is my recent American Dissident Voices broadcast titled Racial Purity. If you don't understand those pieces, you don't understand the fundamentals of our struggle. You won't understand the most important parts of this broadcast. You won't understand what I'm saying about the latest DNA discoveries. So here's point number one in capsule form. Evolution is real. The fact that gene patterns are identical for vast swaths of our genome and the genomes of other primates, to say nothing of humans and other mammals, humans and reptiles, etc., shows that we and they shared a common origin. And since we are different now, we must have changed over time. We evolved. The fact that we evolved is indisputable, and it is also that simple. It's as if our genome and a small mammal's genome are each an edition of a 100,000-page encyclopedia. If the second encyclopedia is word for word, punctuation mark for punctuation mark, identical to the first 94,000 pages of the first encyclopedia, who would be fool enough to deny that they had a common source? That's the difference, by the way, between our genome and a mouse's. Also, we know that life forms that did not exist millions of years ago do exist now. Therefore, some of the old forms must have changed into the forms we have now. Another simple proof that evolution is real is this. Any self-replicating system operating in the real world, like living beings, must replicate slightly differently at certain times and places compared to other times and places. This is an unavoidable fact of life on Earth. Some places offer more sunlight, more food, less ultraviolet radiation, higher or lower temperatures. These factors change constantly over time and also with location. Also, we know that the genetic programming of the living beings is not exact from individual to individual. The gene replication always introduces variations. Therefore, the replication of the self-replicating beings will differ. That is, the replications will not be exact replications. In some cases, the replications will be less able to successfully replicate themselves in the always changing environment. In other cases, they will replicate themselves more effectively than their parent beings. Gradually, the population of better replicators will increase, and that of poorer replicators will decrease, changing the average characteristics of the population. This will happen differently in different locations, so differing populations will emerge. Races will emerge. And given enough time, races evolve into new species. And then crossbreeding becomes impossible or practically impossible. Thus, evolution is inevitable, and it is constantly happening. This is incontrovertible. And if you don't understand this, you don't understand what races are and are ill-fitted to preserving our own. A corollary to this truth is that racial separation is necessary for evolution to take place at all. All living species that exist or have ever existed have undergone racial divergence and separation as a necessary step in speciation. Thus, racial separation is not only not evil, it is necessary, and it is sacred, if anything is sacred. Point number two in capsule form. Racial purity is not something of the past, something that must inevitably be whittled down by time, despite our best efforts in the supposedly lost cause of preserving it. No, not at all. Racial purity is something that exists primarily in the future, and the long-term trend is for it to continually increase. This point is difficult for some people who've spent their entire lives thinking of it the wrong way, the backwards way. But the right way is actually very simple, elegantly simple. 200,000 years ago, and for all time before that, since the beginning of life, all the ancestors of all the modern races were the same race. There was, insofar as the races that now exist are concerned, 0% purity. No purity whatsoever. Today, blacks and whites and Asians and Jews and other races have emerged and are notably different from one another. Therefore, purity has increased over time. Is the purity of our race 100% now? No, that is not true either. The only meaningful way to look at purity is as degree of difference. Surely, that degree of difference can be increased. So 100% is not here yet. I suggest that when our race has achieved a degree of difference at which it is not possible to interbreed with blacks, then we will have achieved 100% purity with respect to them. And such a degree of purity with respect to Jews or Athens or other races shall have been achieved when we can no longer interbreed with them either. The good news is that the trend of evolution, the long-term trend of nature, is to increase that purity, increase that degree of difference over time. Thus, fighting for racial purity is not fighting a rear guard, essentially hopeless action against inevitable panmixia and degradation and dysgenic decline. No, not at all. Fighting for racial purity is moving forward, supporting the natural direction of nature herself. And we would say it is in accord with the inevitable, unstoppable trend of nature and of life, which is evolution toward ever higher states. So, now comes along David Reich, the strangely named Harvard Jew, and his book HGH. In many ways, Reich does good work. He familiarizes us with the new science of extracting ancient DNA from the bones of ancient peoples, and the analysis of that DNA using some very clever techniques. These analyses can show us, within the bounds of error margins and possible multiple explanations, the relatedness, the ancestries, and the migrations of these ancient peoples. Far from all of this work has been done by Jews. Most of it appears to be being done by white scientists, which is what you'd expect. But apparently, we need Jews to explain it all to us. As always, at least according to the gatekeepers of the media and publishing worlds. And Reich performs as expected. The keynote, the overriding and ever-present theme of these new discoveries in ancient human DNA, according to Reich, is the rich tapestry of racial mixture which they uncover. When Reich places a map of 30 different ancient human populations on the fly leaves of his book, he doesn't make the map legend read 30 ancient human races or 30 ancient human populations or anything like that. No, his legend reads 30 population mixtures. Failing to sufficiently highlight the fundamental issue that for mixtures to exist, there must be some distinct and unique things to mix together in the first place, Reich insists throughout the book that it is mixture events that are what define who and what we are. To be fair, let me point out that Reich does say that the mixture events took place between, quote, highly differentiated, close quote, populations, which he admits come into existence again and again throughout human prehistory. The tools we have been given to understand ourselves since the advent of genetic sequencing have shown beyond any doubt that racial differences are real. And science popularizers and gatekeepers like Reich have been forced to admit this again and again and again. So Reich also takes on the role of simultaneously admitting that racial differences are real, are heritable and measurable, and are not trivial, all the while trying to fit these truths into a framework that leaves the arguments for a multiracial society intact. It's a difficult job, hedging and backfilling and essentially lying like that. But along the way, Reich positions himself, believe it or not, as the politically incorrect, or at least politically neutral, scientist revealing these truths to a doubting world. He says, quote, DNA studies reveal the deep history of inequality among differing populations, between the sexes, and among individuals, close quote. Sounds almost like something I might say. But lest you get the correct idea that we should be concerned about the survival of our particular race or type, Reich hastens to construct a narrative essentially stating that it is the mixture of separately evolved types of humans that defines us, instead of the evolutionary forces that brought the distinct types of humans into existence in the first place. Very subtle, that, and very clever, and also very deceptive. Perhaps it is only natural for Jews, products of a very recent and very significant mixture event, which left their predominantly Middle Eastern ancestry, about 40% mixed with Europeans, to see the world this way. The centerpiece in Reich's rich tapestry of mixture is the ancient admixture with Neanderthals that is shared by both Asians and Europeans, though not with unmixed sub-Saharan Africans. And that is where I will resume this vital topic in my next American Dissident Voices broadcast.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process. something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on. not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now let me, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.